80% of high school students choose a college based on their friends. Don't let that be your student.
This is Cutthroat College Planning, where we tell you everything you need to know about life after high school.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to Cutthroat College Planning. My name is Hector Lopez, and with me, as always, is Kayla Record. How are we doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good. This is going to be a great episode. We prepped a lot for this one.
But it is. And right in time for the holiday season and everything. So
yeah. No, this is great.
It's perfect timing.
It is. We are continuing our application series, and we can't go any further without talking about the application interview. We've brought to you so much information about how to fill out certain sections of your application, how to master the essay part of your application. Today, we're going to be talking about the application interview. So Kayla, what is an application interview?
So an application interview is really the college or university saying they want a chance to get to know who you are more in detail than what that overall application shows them and what kind of student you're going to be. And it's a way for you to stand out and for them to decide, are you going to be a good fit for them and for that school and that campus, that culture? That's it.
Yeah. It's just like an interview for a job.
Exactly.
But it's only focused toward your admission or your application status, whether or not you get accepted.
Correct. And it can really help you. Yeah. Or it could really...
It could hurt you too.
Exactly.
Depending on how well you do.
Yeah. And how prepared you are.
Yeah. So I went to community college and I went to a state school in New York. Okay. I didn't have to go through any sort of interview for my application process. I just applied. If I got accepted, I went. They didn't say, come in for an interview. We want to see how you are. Everything you just described as to what an application interview is, that didn't happen for me. So when would you actually go on an application interview?
Well, so there's several different situations that you could do that might apply to you as to when and why you would go on an application and interview. So the first would be if you're a specialist student. So by that, I mean like a music student or something like that. The next would be if you are applying to a highly competitive school, followed by if you're waitlisted. That's another option too. Or if you are somebody that is a situational based. So for example, I'll go into detail a little bit more with that one in a minute. But the last would be if you've been recommended and stood out somehow, but then your qualifications don't quite line up yet.
Okay. So there's many different options.
Yes.
Many different reasons why you would go on an application interview.
Absolutely. Yes. So as I said, I wanted to kind of dig into those a little bit more, which I kind of started already.
Yeah.
It's hard to hold me back with stuff like this. So I apologize. And so my first point would be if you're a student, like a specialist student, by this I mean if you're applying to a specialist program such as a music program, right? You're going to have different types of interview pieces and you're going to have to put together composure pieces. So with that, they're going to want to know the interview as well because they're looking at a very more selective group or they're looking at a lot of students to narrow you down and see, are you going to be a good fit for that specific program? The next is going to be if you're applying to a highly competitive school. And I'm not just meaning your Ivy Leagues. Of course, your Ivies, but this also applies to schools that have really, really high acceptance rates or a really high amount of applicants. You know, I've referenced before Boston College with 80,000 applicants in an annual year, right? That's a lot of applications to go through. And so that is one way they use to be able to take and narrow it down to decide, are you going to be good fit or not?
Yeah, those two make sense for me. Now that you say it, they seem like pretty obvious reasons why you would need an interview. I do want to go back to the specialized student, the example you gave, and then we can kind of go back to the Ivy League situation there. One thing that popped up to me was, do tryouts count as interviews, or how does that situation work?
No, okay. No. A tryout is based on your skill, whatever it is that you're doing, whether it's athletics or, you know, you're going and you're trying out for first seat or second seat in the orchestra, whichever, right? That's more specific into your position there. And it's a part of a component of your application process, but it is not the same as the interview. it doesn't have specific questions and you're not going through it and you're not going to prepare for that the same way you would for an application interview, like an actual admissions interview.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. Good question.
What does an Ivy League application interview look like?
It could be anything and everything. It could be very standardized where you come in, you sit down, and you have a group of anywhere from 3 to 30 members from their advisory council, the school department, the head, the dean, chancellors, whichever, right? And they could ask you very specific questions. It could be taped so that they can remember who you are and play it back for them so that they can go through and review everybody and narrow it down. It can also be a campus tour by somebody that you don't even realize what their role is or that they're going to be part of that interview. And it could be as very in-depth or as very simple as walking you through the campus. And what they're paying attention to is everything counts. Your actions count. They're watching who you are as a person and what kinds of decisions are you making. For example, walking with and through Harvard, right? So for that, it's very common, you'll see it a lot, as I did, to walk through and there may be something in the pathway, laying, you know, a piece of trash or a cup or something, right? They're looking to see, are you throwing that away? Are you a person that's going to take pride and value in that campus and help keep it clean? They will walk you through and get you lunch. Have you asked anyone's name that's helped you? Have you asked the name or talked to anyone else on the campus during that tour? Because that's going to be one of the questions that they ask you too. It's a very common one and I received the same thing. What was the name of at least one person who was there serving you lunch today? They want to know what kind of an overall person you are. And it's situations like that where they put you in as much of a normal setting as they can to see how you're going to respond and what kind of a person you're going to reflect if you bear the name of that university moving forward.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. I never knew that about Harvard application interviews, that it's
exactly,
it's like they're interviewing you as you go through life, kind of.
Yes.
They want to see how you would live your life if you were on their campus on that day doing the things that you normally do. It seems like nothing is off limits to them as well.
No, it really isn't.
Which is crazy to me because they can ask you anything under the sun based on that day, based on your life. And you have to just be ready for that. So it's got to be really hard to prepare for one of those.
It is. My best advice for preparing is know yourself well and have, as we go through it, we have some extra details for some steps coming up too.
Look at you there holding back. I see you're about to.
I almost didn't
though. You're about to give it all away, the good stuff, but you stuck to the script there.
I did. I did good on this one. So.
Okay. Walk us through a couple more.
Okay.
Of the types of app or reasons why you would go on an application interview.
Okay. So another, if you're waitlisted, they may use this and most commonly do use this process to be able to decide. They waitlisted means that they don't have enough spots open right now. However, you've met enough criteria that they're keeping you as a considerable person, right? And then as applicants come in and then they withdraw and decide for like your early decisions and late decision students, they may have a spot open. They may have a spot for the program open. And so they're trying to decide now by that pool of the people that they were like, okay, we're not quite sure about, or we don't have full space yet for, who stands out? Who are they going to go to bat and make a case to get in, right? And who gets first come, first serve in that assess? And so waitlisted, that is one of the ways that you can really stand out.
Let's take a break to hear a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by the Unleashing Leadership Podcast. Join Travis Moss, seasoned entrepreneur and business leader, on a transformational journey of leadership exploration. In this thought-provoking podcast, Travis shares his invaluable insights and experiences gained from 2 decades of managing diverse businesses, which include small family enterprises, Fortune 500 companies, and his own successful startups. Through candid storytelling and real-life examples, he unveils the profound truth that success or failure ultimately rests upon a leader's ability to recognize and unleash the potential in others. Start listening to the Unleashing Leadership Podcast today available on all major podcast platforms.
Have you seen just about any college do waitlisted college applications, or is this still primarily for those highly competitive schools?
Usually highly competitive, but actually it is a little bit more towards your university college programs from your D3, D2 levels as well.
Okay.
It could also be your smaller school, but you could be waitlisted for a program, right? So it might not be a highly competitive college or a university or a, like a trade school, but the program you're specifically applying for is.
Gotcha.
And so
that,
so,
that kind of relates back to that first area there where you were talking about like a specialized student or someone that's trying to get into a specific program.
Yes.
Okay.
You see this in allied healthcare roles too a lot of times now. We're seeing that as a trend coming up because a lot of people are trying to apply to get into them. So your two-year, you know, your RN to BN kind of stuff, that type of program, programs where you can get in quick and then get into getting a career. Sometimes there's a lot of like a lot of applicants that pull in, but they only accept enrollment once a year because the way the program's structured, you can't skip around. You have to go through classes in order. So they don't allow open enrollment all year, which means you get an influx of students coming in to apply for a one dated like start date.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah,
that's a lot of times. Bound. Yes. So you'll see it for those too.
Okay. We have one more situation here that I think is really interesting. I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
We have two more that I think are really interesting.
That's all good.
Situational based. So if there had been a time through your education before college that you maybe had missed some time, or you had some things that stood out, or you graduated early, or some very interesting situational things that had happened, there also could be some situational based interviews, right?
Yes, absolutely. And this is really speaking to those, like if you have had a gap year, right? You took a year or two off. Or if you're coming back into education and applying for a field, or even situational based could be, say you've taken as many advanced placements or, you know, tested out of and taken as many concentrated classes, say in bio and chemistry, right? But now all of a sudden you're applying for a program that is in a degree or a field that has nothing to do with science or medical. They may look at that and say, why? Why are you, why have you been so focused and dedicated over here to take and really highlight these type of classes because you know you've made good grades and you've done well, and now you're all of a sudden looking at journalism or something to that effect. That would be another situation where when just on paper looking at you, it doesn't make sense, right? Or there's an area of a question. It can also be your grades don't line up. And the transcripts and the grades that they received, maybe the year that you had and everybody went remote for COVID, significantly impacted you. Okay. That could be a situation too, where they look and say, oh, you had two really good years, one year where you made all of a sudden C's all the way down. And then the next, you made a B in most average classes, right? They may want to know, are you pulling yourself back up? Is it the situation because of, you know, being remote, or was there something else that went on? That kind of thing. And last one, just not to dwell into it, but if you have had a year or had to take a certain amount of significant amount of time off when you're a high school student, and you have had to transition from being in a school setting to a homeschool setting, or say you were out because of a medical reason, whether it be surgery or anything, when they've seen a large section while you've completed all your work and all of your things, they still want to get to know a little bit more in depth about what happened and how did you overcome that.
Yeah, so what is the process of receiving an interview from a school? How does that look? I only know, from my perspective, I can only tell and speak to the side of applying for an application and then receiving a denied or an accepted. Mm-hmm. What would it look like for a student or a parent to go ahead and apply and maybe not know if there's going to be an application interview coming next? Mm-hmm. Just walk us through that, because like you might be accepting to some schools. Some schools might send you something to mail and say, we still need to go through with an application. What does that look like?
And actually, a lot of schools will post on their website too. Okay. And they'll post on there. So you can know
ahead of time.
Yes. And they'll post on their website. So if it is program-based or if it isn't, if it's not situational-based. So if it's going back to those first few reasons, it's program-based, you know, like a specialist program, or if it is like in a highly competitive school, just look at the admission process and timeline on their website and then make sure that you're in for that specific program or that school. If you're doing school of design or business school, whatever, make sure you check that there's not a separate timeline. And a lot of times they will tell you there are deadlines for certain things and you have to have an interview scheduled by X date. Yeah. However, for those that don't fit those specific, you can't just go online and find it, right? Mm-hmm. You could receive a letter or you could receive an email once you submit everything that just says, here's the next step to your application process. Or when you receive a letter that says you've been waitlisted. Mm-hmm. You can take, and in that, they might say, we're going to request during X dates to schedule, or they may suggest 3 dates for you to schedule your interview.
Okay. All right. That makes more sense. Yeah. I don't know why I didn't think about that sooner, but yeah, for some specialized industries that you're looking to get into or programs specifically, and for some highly competitive schools, if you check the application process, it'll say that listed in there already.
Yes, usually, okay. Or online. On their site.
Yeah.
Sometimes they don't always have it just easy and clear, right? They all have the leeway to design their sites as they want. So, you know, it's not always just right on that application page. But if you go through their website and look, you should see it. And if not, you can always ask.
Yeah.
You can submit your application and follow up with the admissions rep or, you know, the admissions department and just say, you know, I submitted my application and I'm looking forward to hearing. And I wanted to know, is there any areas or timelines for interviews? Mm-hmm. Should that be an option?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good to do there.
Hey guys, real quick, Kayla here. I want to thank you for listening to this episode. One of the ways we grow the fastest is through word of mouth and reviews. If you find any value in this passion, we suggest you leave a review or share to help another student on their journey into life after high school. Thank you so much. Let's get back to the show.
So I'm thinking back to your Harvard application interview that you had just mentioned a few minutes ago.
Yes.
What are some tips and tricks you can give to people on how to master their application interview?
Prepare. Really prepare, like it is a real interview, right? I like to take and say that you should prepare thinking of who, what, where, when, why, and how, right? 6 major categories is the easiest way to remember that. Who are you? Be able to answer that in a clear, concise way and support it. What? What do you bring to the table? What's unique about you? What do you need to stand out with, like, you know, what it is about you that makes you a good fit or makes you somebody that's going to be worthy of being into that program? You know, where are you now, but where do you see yourself going? What's that future vision look like? What, where? I'm trying to think now.
Why?
When or why? Why? Basically, why should they choose you?
Yeah, why are you a good fit?
Right, exactly. Why are you the best fit for that? Why do you fit that campus? You know, and when are you looking to not only apply, but when are you going to set into vision, like, and cast your vision into action, right? Do you have something that you have been a part of a project? And when are you doing that? Or when has something that's really stood out that you've accomplished most recently, please keep within that year, that took place, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, how did you do it? And how are you going to take the steps to do what needs to be done to be able to make sure that you stay the primary fit candidate and prepared to be able to get into that school? Especially if you're a waitlisted person, that's a good one for you.
Yeah. So I think to have all of these answers, all these questions already answered beforehand, yes. You can practice them with whoever is going to be taking you. You can practice them with a teacher, with a guidance counselor, just to make sure that you have all of these answers already answered. You don't have to sit there and interview thinking about an example of how you can do these things, or of how you can answer these questions.
Yes.
So I think that's really important, is prepare your answer. The next thing here too that we have is prepare for your environment.
Exactly.
How crucial is it that you know the ins and outs of that school that you're trying to get into?
Well, and if you've listened to previous episodes too, you know how to prepare yourself for an environment by walking through and absorbing and taking in different pieces of that campus, right? But it's critical. If you're going to be spending 4 years in this environment, you need to make sure that it's the good fit for you. And so to prepare yourself for this and to prepare yourself by that environment, take time to walk around your campus. Do the virtual tours if you are not local and you can't get there again, right? Take and make sure you've prepared by looking at the different statues, looking at what are the things that are highlighted as events and as literary components that they support. You really want to prepare for not only just what you can Google about the university or about the program or about the, you know, trade program. You want to really know, like, in depth more about that. You want to know what it is that they really are looking for in a student. You can walk around and ask students. I highly recommend talking to students that are currently there and just saying, you know, you're considering this school and what are some things you wished you would have known as a student before you chose this school? And see what they say.
Yeah.
It's a great way to start.
Yeah, sounds like it's going to be more of a responsive interview as well.
Yes.
Doesn't seem like it's one of those things where they just kind of sit you down, ask you a bunch of questions, write down your responses, and then move on.
No.
Just from the Harvard example, too, they took you out for lunch. They took you around the campus. Mm-hmm. Seems like it's more of an experience.
Right.
So at that point, you know, you can have that conversation.
Well, and so I know this is, it's probably going to sound bad by saying it this way, but this is cutthroat.
Yeah, give it to them.
Are you going to be a liability? That's part of what they're trying to know, right? If you as a student are going to be living kind of in their house, you're coming onto their campus, that's their house, right?
Yeah.
Are you going to be destructive or are you going to be impactful? Are you going to be somebody that adjusts well and participates in things? Or are you going to be somebody that is isolated and more likely to drop out? Mm-hmm. Those kind of things, right? That's also what they're wanting to know too.
Yeah.
What kind of a student physically are you? Because if you're living there, you're not only just a student sitting in a class. You're also, everything else that makes up you goes into that as to who you are and who you're going to be on campus. Are you going to be someone that gets in trouble a lot? Are you going to be someone that's always, you know, breaking curfew or breaking the rules? Or are you someone that's going to be really helpful and, you know, engaged or excited to be there? And basically, are you not going to be a problem? They don't want problems, especially in the dorms, because you're trying to control and manage a significantly large portion of students all within that same age, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of times your resident assistants, your RAs, who's assigned to those floors, while they're trained, they don't want problems. They want a peaceful, happy floor of students.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I did want to ask too, going back to those like 5 or 6 questions.
Yes.
Is it okay to bring those questions with answers?
Absolutely.
Like in more of like an essay format, essay in air quotes, like the same way you would answer them on an application. Is it okay to bring those to the interview?
Yes. And actually, I highly recommend not only having your answers really quick, like bullet point what you're going to say for each of them, also have an example, like a physical example of something you can show for it. Thinking about it just like you would prepare for a real interview, right? It helps when you have visuals. If you put it all together into kind of a portfolio or something to that effect, right? Organize it, show community development or, you know, community volunteering, that kind of stuff. Have a picture or two and a quick write-up about what you did so you can say, for example, you can see my leadership and, you know, when I took an initiative to do XYZ, here's an example. Look at the picture. Look at all the pretty faces and look at the impact I'm making. So yes, you know, if you really stood out and were honored and received some type of, you know, accomplishment and an award for something, a program, a project you did, you stood out in the science fair, you stood out in something, a poster fair, right? Take and bring some pictures of that. put it together. It also shows that you put really a lot more time, attention, and were willing to go the extra mile to truly prepare and to give them the full picture of who you are. And that alone speaks volumes as to what kind of student you're going to be. Because if you're going to take extra time to really be intentional and prepare for that, chances are you're going to continue those ethics when you're in school there. And that's what they want.
Yeah. How cool would it be for someone to ask you a question, maybe say, when have you succeeded or failed?
Exactly.
You can answer that question and say, I actually brought something with me that shows an example of where I've succeeded. I brought something with me that shows an example of where I failed and where I've overcome that failure. And I can tell you a little about that while you're looking through it.
Exactly. And see how comfortable that was?
Yeah.
Right? As opposed to just, okay, let me read on my paper, or fumbling and trying to not, you know, have the words to come up with, right? And it's more conversational. And they don't want robots. They want to have a conversation. And if you can get them engaged and get them to really converse with you, ask you more questions, you want that. You're inviting that conversation in.
Yeah. This is the part of the podcast where I want to mention to listeners out there, all of these questions that we have posed to you that might be potential questions for college application interviewers to ask you are all questions that you also might see on your college application.
Yes.
So if you've already filled out some applications in the past and then you're going to be going on an interview or you're taking your child on an interview, you can pull, if you're keeping track of all of your essays, you can pull these answers that you've already written down and elaborate them a little bit more. Exactly. Right? It's really cool to see that the application process is prompting so many similar questions, so many similar stories that they want to pull out of you that you can recycle them.
Yes, but be careful.
Ah.
There's a catch to this. So when you do that, you really want to make sure, though, you're not repeating yourself because that's a waste of opportunity, right? You want to get as many like gold stars of amazing things out there about who you are, what kind of a person you are, what you can accomplish, what you have accomplished, what you've overcome and achieved, and how you've led or prevailed through challenges. So if you're using the same things you've used or already said in their application somewhere in your essay, I would encourage you to go deeper, have an example, or really build out and use that because they've already read your application.
Yeah.
So don't waste your opportunity on that.
Yeah.
Really try to find something that is just amazing shining star moments, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. And is there are there any other last tips and tricks that you want to give folks out there?
I would say practice and be comfortable with who you are. Be looking at it and embracing an opportunity to have the interview as opposed to feeling as though it's like a dreaded, oh my gosh, or nervous, right? And if anything else, I would say write it on your paper as you're practicing and rehearsing and remember this. You have a 50% responsibility to interview them as much as they have a 50% responsibility to interview you.
That's a good point.
Yes. Are you a good fit? And are they a good fit for you?
Yeah, that's a really great point. And I think confidence is key. So
it is.
Repetition.
Yes.
Repetition, repetition, repetition.
Absolutely.
This was a great interview.
It was.
Great interview. This was a great podcast. Like you can tell what's on my mind. This was a fantastic podcast for application interviews. Going into this, I didn't know much, as you probably already heard. We went over how important an application interview actually is. What's the purpose of an application interview? We went over some reasons as to why you might be asked to partake in an application interview. And then we also gave some tips and tricks. Some tips and tricks in there to master that, because we want to empower you to ace the interview.
Yes.
Right? It's important to us that you do really well on your application interview because we want you to get into the college that you want. So we just want to say thank you for listening to this episode of Cutthroat College Planning. It has been a pleasure. We have one more episode in the application series. Excuse me. We have one more, and then we're going to do a little bit of a wrap up for all of the episodes and kind of give you just a summary of what we went over and some of the major points there. And if we missed anything, we're going to mention it in that episode as well. So we want to say thank you so much for joining us and see you in the next one.
See you in the next one.